The book of 2 Samuel. We come today to 2 Samuel chapter 1. And we begin in verse 1. We'll go through this entire first chapter. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it came to pass, after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David abode 2 days in Ziklag. David came back from the slaughter. God certainly does not sprinkle verbal perfume on the truth to make it more pleasant, does he? Especially when it involves the death and the punishment of the godless. He doesn't whitewash the ugly truth to make anyone feel better. The Amalekites were slaughtered because they wouldn't change their ways. Hopefully, the slaughter of God's enemies in the past will cause people to repent today. And we don't do anyone any favors by watering down the ugly truth concerning what happens to those who reject Almighty God. Verse 2. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes torn and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. David has just squared away his family crisis, getting his wives and his children back from the Amalekites who had taken them. So you just got that squared away, but then this guy shows up all a mess with obviously what has to be more bad news. It is one thing after another for this man of God, David. Verse 3. And David said unto him, "From where comest thou?" And he said unto him, "Out of the camp of Israel, I am escaped." This man was fortunate to escape from the overwhelming defeat that Saul and the Israelite army suffered. Verse 4, And David said unto him, "How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me." And he answered, "The people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also." And so for the second time in a few days, the bottom has fallen out of David's life. You know, it would be nice if bad news would not affect us. But if we care about things and we care about people, then it will. And what David has just heard is going to sting. Because Jonathan, Saul's son, was David's best friend. 5. And David said unto the young man who told him, "How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son are dead?" David wants to know for sure if this bad news is true. Before we accept bad news and start grieving, we should make sure that it's true. There's enough things to get sad over without getting sad over something that isn't even true. Verse 6, And the young man who told him said, "As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him." Well, the man is dead wrong when he says, "by chance." By chance, I was where Saul was dying. He was wrong, because nothing happens by chance. God in his providence allows us to be in situations. And every situation we find ourselves in is an opportunity to praise God, whether it is good or bad. Every opportunity we find ourselves in is an opportunity to do what is right in the eyes, in the eyes of God. Verse 7, And when he looked behind him, he saw me, and called unto me, and I answered, "Here am I." And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, over me, and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. Saul says, Come and put me out of my misery. Boy, there sure are a lot of me's and my's in verse 9, aren't there? Suicide is a self thing. It is a self-focus gone crazy. People say, oh, he hated himself, and that's why he killed himself. That's why he committed suicide. He hated himself. No. If he really hated himself, he would have stayed in his misery. People who kill themselves don't care about God, don't care about the people they leave behind, don't care about anyone. They care about self. Suicide is the ultimate act of selfishness. 10. So I stood over him and slew him, because I was sure that he would not live after he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them here unto my Lord. This part was a lie. He did not kill Saul. Saul killed himself. This man must have been the first person to find the king's body, and that's how he got the crown. But he didn't kill the king. He was trying to impress David. Look what I did for you, David. So now you can be king. Look what I did for you. He's looking for a pat on the back is what he's looking for. 11, then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and likewise all the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. If this man expected David to jump for joy at the news of Saul's death, then he was shocked to see David fall apart with grief. If something bad in the eyes of God happens, godly people will not be happy about it. 13. And David said unto the young man who told him, From where art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a sojourner, an Amalekite. David asked this man where he's from. If he's from a foreign country, he would not be expected to know about the laws against hurting God's anointed ones, like God's king. But he was from Israel, so he should have known better. That is why David asked, and now he knows that this man is accountable. 14. And David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Why weren't you afraid? The fear of the Lord is a real thing to a person who respects God like David, but this man did not fear God, which resulted in him doing the wrong thing and even glorying over his evil. The evil that he claimed to do anyway. A Christian will want to do the right thing because they appreciate Christ, but they also know that God is an old-fashioned God who does not care what social services says. He still gives whippings. And they know, that therefore, that it is smart to do the correct thing. Not only is it right to do the correct thing, it's smart to do the correct thing. 15. And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him so that he died. You know, normally David was not quick to pull the trigger. But if he knew that something was right in the eyes of God, he would not hesitate. Not all killing is murder. Murder is always sin. But capital punishment, for example, which is what this was, is not murder. A just war is not murder. Self-defense is not murder. 16. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. This man has no one to blame but himself for his death. someone does a sin, then they are accountable for that sin. And they can blame the one who enticed them, but God does not buy it. They can claim to be innocent, but God does not buy that. 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he ordered them to teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, he said, Thy glory, O Israel, is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? So Jonathan had a glory of spirit, a beauty of spirit that Israel is going to miss. Beauty is a quality that pleases the senses, pleases the mind. And if somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit, they will have a beauty that radiates from within them. It is a beauty that cannot be seen in a mirror, but it is a real beauty. Beauty of spirit is a genuine beauty that is recognized by people who love Christ, and it's appreciated. 20. Tell it not in Gath, David says. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. In other words, don't let the enemies of God hear this bad news. Tell it not in Gath. It is not right for Christians to hang their dirty laundry out for the world to see. If you make a mistake, keep it to yourself. It is not right to go around telling other people about our sins. If you have a close friend who you can confide in and who will pray for you, that's one thing. But these evangelical buzz groups where people get together and spill their spiritual guts have no scriptural support that I can see at all. 21. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. Saul is no longer God's anointed and God's anointed king. When a person dies, their title goes with them. Everyone enters into eternity and stands before God, just a plain, ordinary human being. And so that's why it says in the last part of this verse, speaking of Saul, he's cast away. His position is cast away as if he had not been anointed with oil. It's all gone. Verse 22. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan both had their share of military victories, but that is all in the past now, and none of it really matters anymore because they're standing before God giving an account. Both of them are. Verse 23. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. And I guess this is a typical eulogy. I don't think there were a whole lot of people who thought Saul was as wonderful as David said he was. I don't think Saul had a friend in the world. But David is being kind out of respect for Saul's position. 24. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. If anyone had a score to settle with Saul, it certainly would have been David. But he doesn't rejoice in Saul's death. He mourns as he instructs the people not to dwell on the bad Saul did, but on those few good things that's all dead. That's where his focus is right now. 25. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? And they were close, David and Jonathan. A relationship between a husband and a wife who love God is a close relationship. But Jonathan and David's friendship was even closer than that. They were best friends in the Lord, connected in the Spirit. Next time, chapter 2, verse 1. Until then, so long, everyone.